Just want to just spend a short time tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Old Testament. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do all that his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And then it moves on and it speaks, begin to tell us of all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God.
Amen. Amen.
There's a lot there just in those first two verses.
Mm-hmm.
If, that's the big challenging word.
Mm-hmm.
If you will diligently obey the Lord. That's the word though, isn't it? That's the key word, if.
Yeah.
If I do, if, what if I don't? And here the children of Israel are being told, if you do this, this is the answer. This is the answer to being blessed. This is the way to be blessed.
Amen.
This is the way to know the hand of God.
Yeah.
Moving on your behalf and the and God changing circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
And it's all about obedience to the Lord and to his commandments.
Yeah.
Now, we know that in the Old Testament there's the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus summed it up really. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, love one another as I loved you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do those two,
mm-hmm.
you'll fill all the others,
yes.
basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll fulfill every commandment.
You will.
Definitely.
So it's so the thing is to have that God type of love,
mm-hmm.
and to have that obedience to the Word of God. Now then, if we want to obey the Word of God, firstly we've got to know the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we have to read it and begin to grasp the knowledge of the Word of God. If we want to know how God's going to bless us, then we need to read the Word of God, because the blessings and the promises are in the Word of God for you. But if you don't know what your inheritance is, you don't know what your blessings are.
No.
You don't know what the promises are for you. And so we need to know what our inheritance is. We need to know what the blessings are in our inheritance. And it's Deuteronomy 28 is a good start. It's a good place to sit and read, and it says in verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the product of the ground, and the offspring of your beasts, and the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall you be in your basket and in your kneading bowl, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So all the blessings come through this obedience
mm-hmm.
unto God.
Yeah.
And obedience is much easier when we have that relationship with God. When we have him in our lives, when we have Jesus in our lives, it is so much easier to love God, to live for God, and to bless God.
Yeah.
And others will be blessed by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important that in verse 7 it says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before
Amen.
You. You know, if you've got an enemy, just keep loving God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing to do is take this enemy to God
yeah.
in your prayers. Amen. You just take them to God in your prayers and say, Lord, I know that I've got to love them, but you see what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, I ask you to deal with this situation. And in doing that, You don't get stressed.
Oh,
you do not get upset. And you don't get yourself into bother with somebody else in maybe in higher authority, if it's in school or at work. You just hand these people over to God and let God begin to work on them.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, it's not fast enough for me. But don't worry. God will work it all out.
He has the time.
He has. And it's important that for each and every one of us, we allow God to do that. Sometimes it's difficult. And because we feel under pressure.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're brought up and in some cases we're taught to, well, stand up for yourself.
Mm.
Well, the Word teaches us to let God stand up for us.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, with Jesus it was like, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough call.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end it's the right call.
Yeah.
Because God will fight for us and God will do a far better job than you or I.
Yeah.
God will defend us. God will move heaven and earth so that we're in the right place and that God will cause his blessings to come upon us. Because the promise you see of Deuteronomy 28 is if you obey the Lord, then all these blessings shall.
Yeah.
Not maybe,
no.
Not might, not could. It's actual shall come upon you.
Yeah.
So it's important that we follow the things of God. And to do that, we have to know the Word of God. And so we need to listen to the Word of God. And let that Word begin to change us and mould us and shape us. And sometimes the Lord puts pressure on. The children of Israel were often called stiff-necked and rebellious. And if you ever get a stiff muscle, one of the ways of dealing with the stiff muscle is actually you have to apply a certain amount of pressure to it.
Mm.
And in applying that pressure at a steady length of time, it causes the muscle to relax, believe it or not. It seems very painful.
More pain.
Yeah, it does create more pain. Having had sort of muscle problems in the past and had people work on me back, etc., and you say to them, what is it you're using on me? And it was like, well, I'm only just using my fingers. And it's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
It's like, you're standing on me, you've got stiletto heels or something. And the amount of pressure that is... But it releases, it causes the muscle to begin to relax. And sometimes God has to put his thumb on us.
Mm. Ouch.
You stiff-necked, puts a bit of pressure on. Because God wants the best for us.
Mm.
For his children. And so the Word at times will put us in a place where it puts a little bit of pressure onto us. And that pressure there is to actually releases more into the things of God. That's the result of God applying his pressure of love, that he actually releases us more into the love and into the power and the presence of God. Verse 14 tells us, and don't turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods or serve them. Don't do it, he's saying. Don't turn aside. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on what God has told us to do. Stay focused in the Word of God and let the Word of God work in our lives.
Yeah.
It will cause you to increase. It will cause you to grow. It will cause you to be blessed. God will add to you and God will cause you to be able to add to others. And to bless others. You see, when you are blessed, you're then able to be a blessing to other people.
Yeah,
and we need to be, as believers in Christ Jesus, we need to be the ones who are blessed so that it enables us to be a blessing to others. So that we can be, at times, the hand of God.
Yeah.
We can show people the love of God through the blessings that we're able to give to them.
Mm.
It's like when we went out just before Christmas giving out food parcels. Mm. You know, there were people in need and we were able to reach out and hand out and share the gospel with them. It gave us an opportunity to share Jesus with them. And we might not have seen any fruit from it yet, but we've planted the seed.
Mm-hmm.
We may not see the fruit,
mm-hmm.
but another church might see it, another group might see it, but we have planted the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reward for going out planting seeds,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not. Because it's not about you collecting fruit, it's not about you collecting the harvest, because it says that he sends his angels out to reap the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You're not reaping any harvest.
No.
You're just planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord watches over the harvest. And the Lord watches over that harvest to bring it to being an abundant harvest. It's like I was saying on Sunday. God wants to bring back what he created in the very beginning. He wants to establish the blessings of Eden. He wants to establish the abundance of Eden and the goodness of God into our lives. And he wants to see that what God intended in the beginning will come to pass at the end.
Amen.
Because it is not being spoiled by the devil and his demonic forces.
Amen.
Jesus has paid the price for you and for me. He's paid the price for all of creation. And so it is our responsibility to begin that process of allowing the blessings of God to come over us and see God moving in our lives and changing us. If you carry on and read further on in Deuteronomy, it begins to tell you that, we'll start with verse 15. It says, But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And so then he begins to tell them, these are the curses. And it's, they're all negative. It's all a taking away.
Mm.
It's all a losing, and it's pain and it's suffering. And in the blessings, even you're going to be healthy.
Amen.
Even in the blessings, you're going to be healthy.
Mm.
But the reverse side of that is, if you're disobedient, then you're not going to be healthy.
Mm.
You're going to struggle. You're not going to have abundance. You're going to be struggling with things. And God is not wanting to cause you to be like that. But what God's saying is, if you stay connected with the Word of God, you stay connected with God,
yeah.
you will find that as you stay connected with God, you'll find that there is this continual flow, that the windows of heaven have been opened.
Amen.
And God is pouring forth a blessing unto you and to me. And I'm not just looking and talking about finances. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about happiness, well-being, that come from being in the presence of God, that come from knowing God, that come from having peace with God,
mm-hmm.
and having the peace of God in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have these, you can sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can rest. You can know that God is with you, and mm-hmm. that when anything comes up which seems difficult and challenging, you know who you can turn to.
Mm-hmm.
God is there. And so we can turn to him in our prayers and just call upon the name of the Lord, and he is our deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we call upon the name of the Lord, he begins to work on our behalf,
mm-hmm.
begins to change circumstances and situations. You can read about Daniel, when Daniel prayed. And it said that the answer was delayed because the enemy started to withstand the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And the messenger had to call for reinforcements to release him from this hindrance so that he might deliver the message. And when he brought the message 21 days later, he said the answer was sent straight away,
mm-hmm.
but I was delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So God is a God that answers. He might not always give you the answer you want. That sometimes happens.
Oh, when you want it.
Well, when you think you want it. Mm-hmm. And that's the you see, God's timing is not, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows what's going on down the line, and God knows precisely when to release the answer, to release what is needed to bring you through. Because God wants to show you and me that He is the God of the impossible. That He can let it run to 5 minutes to midnight and we think that's it. Or get to 1 minute to midnight, we think there's no chance. And then suddenly He appears with the answer. And everything changes. And this is the God that we serve. But this God, we have to learn to trust Him. And as we spend time in the Word, we then get to know Him more and we can trust Him more and believe what His Word is going to do in our lives. And so God wants you to realise, and I'd encourage you to read Deuteronomy 28. Read it through a couple of times and just see the promises that are in there. And carry on and read further on and just see the results of just not walking with the Lord. Mm. Because that's what it boils down to. Mm. By not walking with the Lord. And I suppose what we're saying when we say not walking with the Lord is every day we have to walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. God came down and God spent time with them. So they were calm. They were in the presence of God at least every day.
Mm.
And so God wants and desires that time with you and I each and every day, and He desires quality time. And it's so easy to let so many other things come rushing in these days we live in. You know, we can be in a situation where we're at the beck and call of everybody and anybody through the computer or the mobile phone.
Mm.
And sometimes you need to
switch off.
Turn it off and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you just have to turn them off and say, that's it. I've got to have my space. I've got to have my time. Because if we as a church and as individuals are to be effective, we need to have some quality time with God.
Yeah.
If you're going to be an effective athlete, you've got to have some quality time in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We need to have some quality time in the gym of God,
mm-hmm.
in the Word, and let the Word work on us, and let the Word shape us,
mm-hmm.
and give us the strength that we need, give us the power that we need, give us the authority that we need in our lives, and that we have the knowledge of God in our lives. So this Word of God is the gym.
Mm,
it's the gym of our spiritual life. It allows us to flex our spiritual muscles.
Mm.
It encourages us to go further than what we already are.
Mm.
And it says, come on, press in.
Mm-hmm. Can I just share a thought?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that I was really blessed with earlier on this week, and it was about Daniel, and you know, you've just been saying that how God wants to bless us, and God wants to rescue us from our enemies, but for Daniel, the ultimate happened because Jerusalem was completely invaded by the enemy, Babylon, and the people's homes were ruined, devastated, destroyed. The temple, the church, was devastated, destroyed. Their families, they didn't know where their families were. Their possessions were all lost. And they were just completely overtaken by this enemy. And for Daniel, his reaction was, I trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he said in this thing, imagine, picture this scene in your mind. An enemy army has swooped down upon your nation. is inflicted in enormous destruction and death. The city is smoking. The church lies in rubble. Your possessions have been destroyed. The face of your family is unknown. You don't know where your family, any of your family are. There's just you in the midst of all this, just with ruins all around. What would you do?
Pray.
Would you still trust God in all this and think,
pray,
well, God's going to bless me. God wants to bless me. He says I'm blessed, but at the minute, just truly cursed. But ultimately, for Daniel, it was that God might move him, shake him, re-establish him, and bless him.
Mm.
And not only bless him, but bless his enemies. Because his enemies, I mean Nebuchadnezzar, he turned to God. And he was one of the greatest, most powerful human beings that ever lived. And think what influence he had over many, 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 many nations, because he conquered so many. And so it's not always about what we see at this point, is it?
No.
God sees the bigger picture. So we've got to trust him when we can't see the bigger picture, when it's all falling around us. But I think as well, I was thinking about the UK and I was thinking about the floods that we had recently.
Mm.
You know, I'd have been really devastated if I'd have seen it on 6 or 4 or 6 inches underwater and everything just filthy and full of sludge and sewerage. I just think, God, what would I have done? And I think sometimes it's good to take stock and to just assess it yourself and think, am I as rooted as I need to be? But I think for in England, the greatest challenge in our own nation is what dear to an extent has been saying, one of her teachers just totally despises God and poo-poos him every time his name is mentioned. And just seems to look down on anybody who is a Christian and wonders why people can be so stupid. And that is an attitude that prevails in our nation. And we were talking to Mary, weren't we, on Tuesday, and she was saying in Nepal, they haven't got any churches, but they've got people's houses are just full of Christians wanting to get together.
Yeah.
In England, we've got huge churches everywhere. Nobody wants to come into them. They're empty. And she said, and Mary said to me, and that's because in England, we've got everything. We don't need God. And that is very subtle of the devil, isn't it? He leaves us alone, he don't trouble us. He gives us everything. And we become like, well, why do I need God? And I see that as an attitude that pervades so much in this nation. And that can be as discouraging, if not more discouraging, than seeing your city devastated. I just thought it was food for thought. And the challenge to me came, when the chips were as down as that way, would you still trust God? I'm 99% certain I would. But there's always that element of when you're actually going through it.
But it applies, doesn't it, to every one of us, that we have to develop and maintain our side of the relationship with God.
Yeah.
God's not working on his side. But it's about you and me working on our side of the relationship with him. And that is so important. Because God's already done and he's going to do what it needs to be done. He's waiting for you and me to just come in line, just line up. and then it will just flow from heaven. The things of the blessings of God will continue to flow, and God will move into our lives and strengthen us. We don't live in a perfect world. We're not perfect people yet. But God wants to see us grow, and he wants to see his church grow. Like I said on Sunday, he's coming back for a glorious bride. Yes. And when you say we're having a prayer meeting, it's like I said, it's the worst attended meeting. Why? That's the powerhouse. You know, that's the place where the everything you need is there. And you know, I'm going to continue to press on this one.
Amen.
Because prayer is the only thing that will change our nation.
It is.
I'll just make a suggestion. Could you say, if for example, it's hypothetical, but if the prayer meeting was on Sunday afternoon and the regular meeting was Wednesday evening, do you think the Sunday afternoon would be well attended?
I have no idea. I don't think so.
I'm just wondering if it's proper because it's this time of day and night. That's what my mind is.
I know some people are working late, and I understand that.
Weather's not so inviting to come out either.
No, it's not. No, but again, and I appreciate what you're saying, when I hear comments like, well, there aren't many churches in Nepal, but everybody's gathering in houses and getting together, then, you know, I sort of think, well, what's wrong with our nation? What is wrong with us? We've got it easy.
Yeah, well,
that's the answer.
That's it. Yeah, you know, yeah. For some folk, the only thing they need to go and do is sign on, and everything's sorted.
Mm-hmm.
Fill a few forms in. I mean, I was talking a week or two ago to somebody who's an ex drug addict. He's living with another lady, and they're getting nearly £1,000 a month. And I'm like, what?
For nothing.
To sit at home and do absolutely nothing. And to me, it's like, you don't need God, do you, when you've got the God of money, when the government's going to dole out the money for you. And so we create a godless society because their needs are met by the government. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against meeting people's needs.
No.
But I just find it very difficult to simulate these type of things, that when there is so much like this happening and God is just shoved out, he's dismissed. We don't need him. We can manage. I don't need God, I can manage without. Government's looking after me. And it's when finances begin to run out, when things get tough, they start looking for God.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do that in Nepal.
Which is sad, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It is. But you see, it comes to the point where money is a person's God.
Mm-hmm.
The love of money is the root of all evils. And I, don't get me wrong, I love to be comfortable and to be at ease.
12 rubles.
Yeah, I like a few rubles in my pocket and what have you. But I still want to be able to carry on and love God. I want to worship God. Because I've grasped a relationship with him. And the problem is today that people are not grasping a relationship with Jesus. They're not grasping a relationship with God. They're not in the Word of God. As I say, so many folks spend that much time on the mobile phones, either messaging somebody or texting somebody this, or playing games on the phone, but they haven't got time for the Word. And then when they've done, they're that tired, oh, I can't be, well, I'll read it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and same thing, same scenario goes through again. And God becomes the last thing on the list. And the list has got turned upside down. Whereas God should be the first thing on the list. Deuteronomy 28 sets it in as it should be. if you will diligently obey the Lord.
Mm.
It's the first thing. Sets it right at the top. Do this. Have this relationship. Put this first in your life. And this is what will happen. Later on in the book of Joshua, Joshua turns around and tells the people, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And as far as what you lot are going to do, is basically what he's saying, that's up to you. He says, but we will serve the Lord. Because he knew, because he'd lived for that 80 years.
Yeah.
And he'd seen the hand of God
yeah.
on his family.
Mm.
He'd seen the hand of God keep him alive.
Mm.
Him and Caleb were kept alive where yeah. everybody else died.
Yeah.
His generation, every one of his generation, out of those 2 million people, and I don't know how many will be around his age group, but every one of them, except Caleb and Joshua, died, never entered entering the promised land. Wow. They were the only ones that went in. And when Caleb got in there, he says, right, I want them high places. I might be 80, but I can still run up there and I can still take them because I am still well able, and God has promised me them, so God will keep his promise. You see, these men were the ones that went into the promised land first of all, saw the giants and said, ho ho, hey, we can really do this lot, we are well able.
Yeah.
And everybody else said, but have you seen how big they are? Yeah. Have you seen the size of the fruit? Yeah, fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. We'll never carry it. Have you seen how big the people are? Yeah. Big and slow, we'll cut them down like lightning. You know, well, the all that old saying that we have, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know, and the thing was that Caleb and Joshua knew that God was on their side.
Yeah.
And nothing could stand up against them.
Yeah.
That's what they believed. They'd been taught that from young children. And they knew that their God was well able. They'd lived in Egypt.
Yeah.
They'd ate leeks and onions forever and ever.
Yeah.
They'd seen all of that. And then they'd seen God deliver from all of that, set them free without a loss of life. They passed across the Red Sea on dry land without a loss of life. And an army came up behind them and was drowned in 4 inches of water or whatever, anyway. Whatever they try and tell us, you know. It was just a swampy area. Well, amazing, you know, that swamp drowned all them soldiers.
And chariots.
And chariots and everything else and the horses, yeah. So, yeah, come on. Our God is well able.
He is well able and he will do it.
And we have to, you know, we have to as a church begin to move into that he's well able and begin to pray and begin to move things forward and press in. Yeah, we might even on a Sunday decide we'll have prayer meeting on a Sunday sometime. Change the meeting altogether and say we're not going to have it. We're just going to pray. And see what happens. Maybe do it for a month. I've thought about it already. It's been in my mind. We'll just pray. And we'll press in. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we have to begin to shake the ground.
Mm-hmm.
See, I suppose it should be the telling factor would be how many turns up the week after.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we do it again next week, see what happens. First week it'll be a success.
First week it'll be a shock.
If you could have asked Caleb, what's your source of supply for your life?
Mm.
His answer would be, God's my supply.
Exactly.
If you went around this nation and said, what's your source of supply for your life? You get a variety of it. You'll get governments. I'm self-made.
Mm.
It's luck.
Mm-hmm.
And different things like you get out and all sorts of the mixture. But the our job really is to convince them that the real source of supply is gone.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll get to that situation where all the normal source of supply doesn't answer it.
Mm.
And then they'll turn to God. It's in that moment that they suddenly realise everything that they've counted as a source of supply doesn't work. But sometimes you have to go to that extreme.
Mm.
But some people, like you said, so long as they're comfortable, they'll keep that, oh, my source of supply is whatever.
That's right, though, isn't it? That basically what we're saying in the nation is you can live irresponsible and we'll pick the tab up afterwards.
Yeah.
But that's not what this system was created for.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 58. It says this: if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honoured and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses. You know, Moses here is trying to get the point over. If you want to live a good, content, happy, fulfilled life and be well cared for in that sense, keep your relationship going with God.
Amen.
And I know people find this very difficult, but you see, God is spirit and the spirit gives life to this mortal body.
It does.
And the less spirit of God that we have in the world, the more people find it difficult to understand that there is a real God.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeing the power of God in the church who stands up and says, we believe in God.
Yeah, it's true.
When I suppose you're out in Nepal and you've got nothing, you can't afford gas, or there is no gas, you can't afford fuel, because there's next to no fuel, then you have to start relying on something beyond what you've got. You can have as much money in the bank as you want, but if it's not there to buy, then you've got to start trusting God.
Yeah.
And you've got to start believing God for miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's when God shows up in real terms. When we as a people, what shall we say, we've got money in the bank or we've got money in our wallets, we don't need to trust God.
No.
We're trusting in what we've got. But we need to step beyond that. We need to go further than that and realise it's about our relationship with God, and God will bring us to a more of a successful point. And God wants the church back. God wants his people. God wants the nations back. They belong to him.
Amen.
And the church is part of the formula and what God is going to do in restoring men and women back to himself.
Yeah.
But the church needs to arise.
Yeah.
And begin to move forward. The church needs to arise, and it needs to arise in prayer.
Yeah.
And we've been praying for our young people, and we're seeing the word of God working in them. We're seeing things happening and changes, and thank God for that. But it doesn't stop there. We've got to keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
We've got to keep on praying, we've got to keep on believing. Just because we've seen one answer, we don't start praying.
No.
The anticipation is there are more answers on the way, so we have to keep pressing in for more.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot more young people, there are a lot more people unsaved, going to a lost eternity, going to eternal damnation, and we still have a responsibility.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we can't just turn around and say, well, we've got seven, so that's great, isn't it?
No.
Eight, is it? Right, we've got eight, so that's great, you know. No, it's just the beginning. It's the beginning. And we have to pray for those that have just made those decisions, that they'll be able to maintain that.
Yeah.
And that, and even that, in one sense, they're going to be looking at you and I as individuals who've walked this pathway a little bit longer as to be an example.
Yeah.
And they will follow, you know, we should be able to set the way.
Yeah.
This is the way, walk in it, and they'll follow what we do.
Yeah.
because they see success from it. And if we don't offer them success, they'll go and look for it elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's a success is in relationship and in prayer with God.
It is, most
and, you know, for me, I at times can find it very difficult when I think, well, where's so-and-so, where's so-and-so? We've done all this for them and yet they're not here. Well, they, guess what? In the end, they'll stand before God.
Yeah. Well, they're robbing themselves, aren't they?
Not me. You know, because I've done all that I can. They will have to stand before God and God will then make the judgment on them. And this is what he's saying in the book of Joshua, in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses making these statements and saying, do it or else. And there is an or else. People don't like to think that. People say, oh, he's a God of love, but he's also a just God. Yeah, he's a merciful God, but he's a just God. And if we walk the wrong pathway, then we will receive in accordance with that pathway that we walk. If we walk the right pathway, we'll have the right relationship, we will receive the just rewards according to that pathway. But we make those choices. But, you know, we need to show to others, we need to demonstrate the love and the power of God. And the power that comes out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, praise his name. We're going to pray. Spend some time praying. And we're just going to lift the church, everybody in it, the young people, the surrounding area, those that are not well, those that have been in church and are no longer coming along for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And just pray, you know, pray that God will move on them.
Yeah.
And cause God's word to be reminded to them.
Mm.
You know, we as a group have helped many people.
Mm.
And the only thing is that we actually can't save them. We can't help, we can't make them live the life that God wants them to live. It has to be a choice.
Mm-hmm.
As Joshua said, choose you this day.
Yeah.
You choose.
Mm-hmm.
You make a choice who you're going to serve. You're going to serve yourself, you're going to serve your job, you're going to serve your money, you're going to serve whatever it is, or are you going to put God first and serve him?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the questions.
Yeah.
And there is only one answer. The way I see it and the way I see it with the Word of God and through my own experiences, when we're in relationship with God, we see the blessings of God, we see the hand of God moving over our life. And all right, we will get put under pressure at times because maybe God's trying to move us into a certain direction, to a certain way, and we're not listening. We've not yet got used to it, so he's having to lean on us a bit just to sort of, you know, come on, this is the way. This is the direction I want you to go. And we're saying, but I want to go this way, Lord. I feel this is right. And God's saying, just, you know, he might lean on us and put some pressure so that we like, okay, I hear what you're saying, God. I've had it as well. You know, God leans on it and you're thinking, but God, why ain't you letting me do this? Why ain't this happening? And that is like, because that's not what I want you for you. That's not the best way forward for you. So pressure will come. Because we're not perfect yet, we're not fully tuned in to listening and hear the voice of God. We're wonderful for that great day when we are.
Amen.
And hear that voice speaking to us and moving forward. So let's pray for needs. And whatever comes up, you know, comes on your heart to pray, just let's pray. Let's do some warfare.
Yes.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And let's stand against the enemy.
Yeah.
And let's believe God to come up with some answers. And only God can bring the revival. Only God can bring the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.